Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Game of Thrones aired for 8 thrilling seasons, and it's become famous for subverting viewers' expectations. Regardless, it is one of the most impactful shows ever put on television.
In today's episode, we share some of the most unexpected and shocking moments that happen in the world of Westeros. Plus, you will learn a lot of advanced vocabulary with us.
Boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Cassay from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
stirring
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're folding the laundry, baking a cake, or
bird watching.
That's a great one. Okay, so today I'm joined in the global studio by the one and only Thiago. Welcome.
Hey, Cassay. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back with you again. I know we haven't done one in a while. You know, just the two of us, I mean. So this is going to be fun. The last one we did was Stranger Things, right?
Yeah, it was. It's true. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done a podcast together, yeah? So yeah, it should be fun. I think we did the phrasal verbs one, right? 288. Yeah. And the last one was Stranger Things. Yeah, 290.
Yeah.
So, Cassay, you used some really interesting words at the beginning there. First of all, you said that Game of Thrones aired for 8 thrilling seasons. What's that? Thrilling.
So when something is thrilling, it causes excitement.
Yeah, it reminds me of a nice song from B.B. King, you know, the blues man. The thrill is gone. Yeah, so the thrill is gone. The excitement is gone. That's the song, right? And Cassay, you said subverting. Game of Thrones is a show famous for subverting viewers' expectations. What does it mean to subvert?
To subvert is to destroy or damage or ruin something. So in this case, your expectations are ruined.
Yeah, and Game of Thrones had a lot of that, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's quite well known for that specific reason.
True. And the last word you used here was regardless. What does that mean, regardless?
So we use regardless when we want to say despite something. So for example, you could say, regardless of the rainy weather, we still spent the afternoon at the beach, despite the rain, regardless of the rain.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you know, sometimes some of my Brazilian students, they try to use the word independent or independently to mean regardless, because in Portuguese we say that, yeah? We have the word, it'll be something like independently, you know, If I were to translate, I would say independente or independentemente de, you know. But the word in English for that, dear Brazilian listeners, if you are there, yeah, out there, is regardless.
I see. But it makes total, like, logically, it makes sense. Because, as I said, like, despite, like, not being affected by something, so separate from something, independent from something. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
It's true. In Portuguese, that's how you use it. So now you know a little bit about Portuguese too, yeah? So you can use that word in Portuguese like that.
So you also mentioned some interesting words during the intro. You mentioned stirring. Mm-hmm. What does this word mean as an adjective?
Yeah, stirring means something exciting and that causes you to feel strong, powerful emotions. So it evokes powerful emotions. Yeah, it's stirring.
And with regards to bird watching, have you ever been bird watching?
No, not really. I just, you know, I thought of it on the fly. But, you know, bird watching is the practice, right, of watching birds. Yeah, usually using a pair of binoculars, right? I imagine it must be very peaceful, yeah, because I guess you are out there in the woods, right? It's all quiet, right?
Exactly. So today we have a very interesting quote from the series Game of Thrones, and it's actually by one of my favorite characters. So Tiago, go ahead, share the quote with the listeners.
Okay, so this quote is from Tyrion Lannister, and he says, "A mind needs books like a sword needs a whetstone." So, Cassie, what comes to your mind when you hear this quote?
It is so true. I mean, firstly, what comes to mind is the fact that we need to read or take in. We need to take in a lot of information in order to survive. You know, in the same way that a fighter might need to sharpen his sword in order to, you know, kill his enemies, our minds need to be sharpened as well, you know, through information that we'll get from books or these days, obviously, from the internet. I think it's a really, really great quote because it's true. We need to sharpen our minds by reading and absorbing information.
Yeah, and we also use the word sharp to refer to a person who is very smart, right? Smart and cunning and clever, right? Which is exactly how Tyrion is in the show, yeah? At least in the first 4 seasons, I would argue, you know? So, you know, he's always been a very clever character, right? Because, you know, he reads a lot, yeah? So he's sharp in that sense. By the way, what is whetstone, Cassie? Because, you know, a mind needs books like a sword needs a whetstone. What's whetstone?
So wet as like a verb is to sharpen something using a stone. So the specific stone used to sharpen tools or weapons, like a sword or a knife or something like that, would be called a whetstone.
Mm-hmm.
So with Tyrion, because I mentioned that he's one of my favorite characters, and I think while you were speaking, I was thinking that I think the reason he reads a lot or the reason he's so smart is because he doesn't have the physical strength that the other, you know, characters maybe have.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great point that you make because he's a dwarf, right, in the show. Yeah, he's a dwarf. So in a world such as the one that is portrayed in the show, which is a very brutal, crude, harsh world, yeah, where, you know, usually men grow up to be soldiers and fighters, right? Tyrion is a dwarf. Yeah, he doesn't have, like you said, the physical characteristics to do that, right? So the way he survives in this world is by being super smart and using his mind, his brain, right? His ideas to, you know, basically, you know, deal with people, yeah?
So I know we went a little bit into Tyrion's character there, but let's get into what Game of Thrones is actually about.
So in a nutshell, Game of Thrones is about these powerful noble houses fighting for power. You know, if I were to give a very brief description, that's it. You know, you have specific houses, and each one of these houses has a king or a queen, right? But then there is one king only that rules the entire country, that rules all the other houses. And that's the king from the south, right? In King's Landing, the capital of the country, right? The show is about that. It's about these houses plotting, scheming, you know, backstabbing each other, you know, in order to, you know, become even more powerful. So there's a lot of politics involved in this show. What would you say, Cassie?
Yeah, I definitely think you've summed it up very well. It's exactly that. I think each of these different houses have particular strengths and weaknesses. Obviously, in terms of likability, I think the book differs a lot from the show. But the show, you know, sort of focuses on a particular house, and that's the Starks.
By the way, have you read the books?
I actually read like the first and second book. I didn't go any further than that because I couldn't. It was too long. And then I just started watching the show.
Yeah. I read the first 3 and I stopped at the beginning of the 4th one. But yeah, it takes a while to read those, you know. But Casa, you were talking about the Starks and the houses, right? So that begs the question, which house is your favorite in Game of Thrones? Do you have one?
I'm a sucker for like the good guys in this case, because I really, really did enjoy the characters. The Stark family were definitely my favorite. I love them for various reasons, but I felt connected to them, maybe because, like I said, the show tends to focus, you know, mainly on these characters. And
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's the same. You know, I love the Starks. I guess they are my favorite as well.
Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to talk about most unexpected moments that happen in Game of Thrones. And, you know, here at Real Life English, we believe that one of the best ways to improve your English is by living your English, right? It's actually part of our method, part of our learning philosophy, right? Living your English. And we believe that one of the best ways also to live your English is by watching your favorite TV shows. Yeah, so here at Real Life, I guess most of us love Game of Thrones. You know, Akase likes it. I like it. I think Ethan is also a fan. He can confirm that later, but I believe he is. But yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking a little bit about this impactful show. And the first unexpected moment that happened here was the Red Wedding. So the Red Wedding is maybe one of the most shocking moments of the show for those of you who have seen it. And I was definitely shocked, you know, when I saw it for the first time, because at that point, I hadn't read the book, you know. So I didn't know that that was going to happen, actually. I had no idea. So to me, it was really shocking. Basically, it's when one of the main characters, you know, dies horribly, right? And part of his family also gets killed, yeah, in that scene. So, Kelsey, I think we have an extract, actually, that we got from the internet about this scene, right? Can you read it?
Okay, so Rob, as in Rob Stark, was arguably the worst of the Starks in Game of Thrones, and his foolish mistakes ultimately led to his demise. Still, the massacre remains one of the show's ghastliest scenes.
Yeah, that's true. Some nice words there, right, Cassie? What does it mean, foolish? Like, you know, Rob made foolish mistakes.
Yeah, so if you make a foolish mistake, it's like making a silly mistake. Like, it's a mistake that was easily preventable. Like, he didn't think it through, in other words. Like, he didn't, you know, give it much thought. He just made silly mistakes.
And then these mistakes that he made led to his demise. So what does it mean when something leads to something else, Kase?
When an action leads to a consequence or leads to something, when something leads to something, it means that the steps that someone took resulted in something. So it's sort of like the path from one act to the result.
You also said demise, right? So Rob's mistakes led to his demise. What does that mean, demise?
The demise of something or someone is their end or their death.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, it led to his death.
And another nice word here that you used was ghastliest, right? So this massacre is one of the show's ghastliest scenes. What is ghastly?
So something that's ghastly or ghastly, depending on where you're from, is something that's really disgustingly shocking and horrifying.
Yeah, and Game of Thrones is full of those scenes, right?
Mm-hmm, that's true. So the next unexpected moment is Ned Stark's death in season one. Tiago, what is your take on this one?
You know, when I saw it for the first time, I was shocked because it's not something common for you to see, yeah? I mean, because Ned Stark he starts as the show's main character, right? The main protagonist. He's played by Sean Bean. I've never seen a show that kills off his protagonist in the first season, you know? So for me, that was really shocking. What about you, Cassie?
I agree. I had read the book, but I still found it shocking. I think it was just so disappointing because I really, like I said, I grew to love this family, and I mm-hmm. thought that he was such a good guy that I was rooting for him.
Speaking of unexpected deaths, none beats Ned Stark's. Book readers already knew how season one would end, but new arrivals to the merciless continent of Westeros didn't see his death coming. After all, he was the de facto lead of the show, played by the most recognizable actor, Sean Bean.
Mm-hmm. So great vocabulary there as well. What does it mean when nothing beats or none beats something?
Yeah, that means there's nothing better than something else when you are comparing it, right? So we are talking here about shocking, unexpected deaths in the show, right? So no unexpected death that happens in the show compares to this one, to Ned Stark's death. In other words, none beats or nothing beats this death, right? Like there's no comparison. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also mentioned that new arrivals to the merciless continent of Westeros didn't see his death coming. What does that mean?
Yeah, this is a nice expression. It's a nice phrase. When you don't see something coming, you don't expect it. Yeah. And this is really cool because, you see, if you look at the words here, they are pretty easy words, right? Oh, I didn't see it coming. We usually say, right? I didn't see it coming. But the meaning here is I wasn't expecting it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And one more really, I would say maybe advanced vocabulary that you used was de facto lead, a de facto lead. What does that mean?
Yeah, de facto, I think about it as, you know, Ned, he was automatically, from the get-go, from the beginning of the show, the main character, or we perceived him as the main character. Maybe it wasn't intentional or on purpose, but, you know, because I think he's one of the first characters that, you know, appear, and we follow mm-hmm. his story from the beginning, he becomes this automatic de facto lead character, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We chose him to be the leader,
exactly.
even though yeah. the show didn't, you know, specifically tell us that he would be. So, yeah, that's a good one. I just want to say, though, like I liked what you said about the extract mentions that he is the most recognizable actor. And I think maybe that also played a role in us thinking, OK, they wouldn't kill off the most recognizable actor. Like, mm-hmm. surely not. He's going to be here for a while. So, yeah, it's definitely something that was unexpected.
But you know what? I was actually looking into it, and apparently the actor who plays Ned, Sean Bean, mm-hmm. he's famous for getting killed in the movies he makes, right? He's like this, I think he's this recognizable actor that could be a lead character, you know? But he's always one that gets killed off, you know? He's also in Lord of the Rings, for example, and the same thing happens. He's also killed off, you know?
Yeah, true, true.
Now, the next unexpected moment that we listed here on Game of Thrones is about Oberyn Martell. Yeah, so Oberyn Martell's death that happened in season 4, I believe. And Oberyn is a new character that was introduced in season 4. He comes from an island called Dorne, and he's a prince. Yeah, he's a noble person. Yeah, he's a prince. And the main reason why he arrives in King's Landing in season 4 is for revenge, actually, right? He wants to take revenge on the Lannisters, who are the family, the house that is currently ruling, right? The whole nation, right? And that's basically his intention. He wants revenge on that family. But what happens to him is that, you know, he dies a very gruesome death at the end of season 4. And he's also one of the heroes, let's say, yeah? One of the good guys that we kind of root for, you know, and we expect to win. But he didn't win, and he died horribly. Yeah, I remember that was a very, I think maybe it was the most shocking death for me. You know, the way he dies, it was really gross, wasn't it? Can you describe the scene, Cassie? How did he die?
Oh, I remember seeing the mountain, yes. He uses his thumbs, and he pushes his thumbs into Oberyn's eyes, and like you literally see him crush his skull, basically. And it was just shocking.
Yeah, for you to have an idea, it was so shocking for me. And, you know, I usually don't get impressed easily with these things, you know, but that one was really, it really made me, I don't know, made me sick, you know, when I saw it. So I couldn't watch it again, actually. I just saw it the first time, you know, and then I watched the show again a couple of times, you know, but we got to that part, I always skipped, you know. I knew what was going to happen anyway. He was going to die. Yeah? I just didn't want to see the scene because it was so graphic.
Definitely. So Oberyn's death wasn't surprising per se, but its violence and gruesomeness were. Seeing the mountain crush Oberyn's skull with his bare hands might be the single most shocking moment in Thrones history.
Yeah, some nice vocabulary here too. First of all, per se. So Oberyn's death wasn't surprising per se. Mm-hmm. What is per se, Kase?
So per se means like by itself or in itself. And we use it when we're talking about the qualities of one thing considered on its own rather than its connection with other things. So in this case, we're saying that Oberyn's death wasn't surprising, you know, in connection with everything else, but the violence and gruesomeness were.
Yeah. And what about that word gruesomeness?
So again, similar to ghastliness, gruesome is something that is extremely unpleasant and shocking to see, usually very violent or very disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as we are explaining these words here, I just thought of this, you know. It's cool to see that each TV show, each TV series has an underlying tone, right? Or overarching tone, let's say. Because, for example, remember, Cassie, when we did the episodes on Stranger Things, the episode, yeah, on Stranger Things, most of the vocabulary there that we explained about Stranger Things was related to mind and mystery, right? And power. And, you know, and now we are talking about Game of Thrones, and most of the vocabulary is about violence, aggression, you know, gruesome, yeah? So it's nice to see that each show has, let's say, a different set of words or vocabulary that you get exposed to, right?
This is true. And I mean, with regards to what you mentioned earlier and how, you know, watching TV shows can really enrich your vocabulary in a way that doesn't even feel like work because you're totally enjoying it while you're watching. So consider that when you're choosing your next, you know, which series to watch next or the next movie you'll go and see, because it can definitely benefit you depending on what you're watching.
For sure, yeah. And another nice expression here that you used was bare hands, right? So the mountain crushes Oberyn's skull with his bare hands. What does it mean? With their bare hands.
With his bare hands means basically without using any weapon. So if we say, so he literally used his hands to crush his skull. By specifying bare hands, we're basically emphasizing he didn't use any tool. He literally used his hands and his strength to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. We also have barefoot, right?
Yeah, barefoot. So, no shoes.
No shoes on, yeah? So you are you are barefooted, right?
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode.
Before we move on to the remainder of the shocking scenes that we want to talk about today, let's move on over to today's shout out.
All right, so today's shout-out goes to Abhishek. And Abhishek says, it's indeed an enriching and awesome experience to interact with people across the globe and being able to analyze and understand the cultures, traditions, and distinct accents. This is priceless. Plus, the audio transcription of the podcasts is really helpful to develop your fluency and also your listening. This is indeed the best English learning app for people across the globe. I highly recommend this app to all curious learners.
I love the vocabulary that Abhishek used here. They mentioned the word enriching. What does that mean?
Yeah, that is a great word, actually. Yeah? So something enriching is something that adds a lot of value to your life, to yourself. You know, it's enriching. It comes from the word rich, right? So if you are rich, you know, you have a lot of something, right? So in this case, an enriching experience is an experience or something that gives you this wealth of, you know, benefits, let's say.
Awesome. So thank you again, Abhishek, for your lovely review. And if you guys want us to shout you out, just head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. And we might be shouting you out on next week's podcast episode. Okay, so tell us about the final unexpected moment.
Okay, so I got this very nice extract here, so I'm going to read it, and you tell me what you think about this moment here, Cassie, okay? So The last one is Daenerys burning King's Landing. So she was a conqueror disguised as a liberator, a woman hell-bent on taking back her family's legacy, who didn't mind killing anyone who got in her way. She was as violent as every other character in the show, but she remained fair and honorable for the most part. The show's handling of her downfall was rushed and terrible, ultimately doing a disservice to a fan favorite and even inspiring figure. So what are your thoughts on this, Cassie?
Oh, this is really a disappointing end to her legacy. I do think that she became exactly like the people that she was, trying to fight against, the bad guy. She became the bad guy that she was opposing, or that she was trying to fight. So, but you use the word disguised. She was disguised as a liberator. What does that mean?
Yeah, when you are disguised, you pretend to be something that you're not. Yeah, or you give off this appearance to people that is not the real true self, right? Your real true self. It's just like, imagine a Halloween party. You know, it's common during Halloween for kids to disguise themselves. Yeah, they dress up as monsters, as vampires. Yeah, you are wearing a disguise, right? It's not you, really.
Exactly. And another great word or phrase is she was hell-bent on. What does it mean to be hell-bent on something?
That's a person who's very determined to accomplish something. Yeah, so she was hell-bent on taking back her family's legacy. So she was very determined from the beginning of the story to do this, right?
Totally. Like, it's sort of, again, like an extreme, like if you're hell-bent, like nothing's going to stand in your way. Another one you use here is downfall. You said the show's handling of her downfall. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a similar word to demise, as we have already seen today, right? So your downfall is your demise. It's your defeat, right? It's how you go down, how you get defeated. Yeah.
And then the final one that I wanted to ask you about is doing a disservice. What does it mean to do a disservice?
This is an interesting phrase, actually. You know, when I read that, you know, when something does a disservice to you, something doesn't serve you the way it is supposed to serve you. You know, your expectations are not met. This thing serves you wrongly, let's say, you know. So what happened with the ending of Game of Thrones was exactly that. I mean, the way the writers decided to end the story actually ended up being a disservice to many characters, yeah, like Daenerys, for example, or even to the fans, right? Because we were expecting certain things to happen by the end of the show, and the opposite actually happened. So this is actually ruining our expectations in a way and doing a disservice to fans, let's say.
I actually saw a meme very recently on social media. It was a meme of Arya. So Arya, her character is like, we see her go through many transformations, right? She's a little kid and we are rooting for her. She also goes through a lot to, like, help her family and so on. But we see her go from being like a really, we're rooting for her, and then she just becomes strange. And then this show turns her into, like, I couldn't even figure out her role in the show anymore by the end of it. I was like, what is this girl doing?
Yeah, she becomes kind of a cold killer, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Right, a cold assassin. Yeah.
But what purpose did she serve in the end of the show? Like, I don't feel like the show really took away from how awesome, you know, her journey was. That's what I mean. Like, we see her go through so much and then nothing happens. But I liked her. She was a cute little kid. This was awesome. I don't know how you felt about it, but I really enjoyed this, Thiago. How about you? Like, do you think we could do this again soon? I think we should think about which TV show we're going to discuss next time.
Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun talking about it. And going over these shows, we learn a lot of vocabulary, yeah? Lots of great words here. And it's just fun, yeah? To discuss the characters, the story, right? So I just want to end the episode today by telling the listeners that, look, if you've never watched Game of Thrones, watch it. You know, we really recommend it because, you know, it's a really great show. Despite the ending, it's a great show overall. But remember, you will be changed after watching it. You start watching it, you are one person. By the end of it, you are a different person. You know, Game of Thrones for me in many ways changed my perspective of traditional Hollywood movies, you know, that we have of, you know, the good guy always winning, the hero always defeating the villain. Game of Thrones ruined all that for me, you know. So I was a completely different person after watching Game of Thrones. It is an experience. You know, watching this show is definitely an experience. You know, that's what I can say, you know.
I 100% agree with you. And to you guys out there, we hope that you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts and maybe suggest a topic or a show that you enjoy, and we'll discuss it in a future episode. So stay tuned for next week's episode, and we're looking forward to seeing you or hearing from you then. 1, 2, 3.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.